If your pajamas got up before you did, you're having a hard morning. Let's make it harder.
Something funny is going on.
With Jack and Lynn's on 99.5 The Rocket.
They walk a thin dividing line between sanity and lunacy.
And we're back here, 728. We have a very special guest with us on the phone here. Sure, this is your Christmas.
I love it.
I'm
a huge fan.
Do you have your weeds and half-baked?
I'm going to try not to be like a squee fangirl as we do this. You got this.
But you have your weeds and half-baked questions ready to go?
I got them all ready to go.
All right.
Let's do this.
You may remember him. He's on the line right now. He's Guillermo Diaz, actor extraordinaire. Let's get him on the line.
What's happening? Good morning, Guillermo.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
We're good, man. How are you?
I'm really good. It's 6 in the morning here, but I'm good.
Oh, my gosh.
We got him out of bed early.
How did they convince you to do this, man, and still be, you know, doing what you're doing?
I know. Well, you know what? I just came back from Israel, so I think I'm still kind of getting used to the time. So I actually feel good. Like, I feel like it's, you know, 1 in the afternoon, so I'm good.
You got that jet lag working for you.
Exactly.
Well, it's good to have you on the show. You might remember this guy from, many different, films.
High school, high.
TV shows, Dave Chappelle show, of course, Half-Baked. Now, I'm not going to lie, Gabriel, there's an over-under bet going on right now to see when one of us is going to say, what up, B? And then,
we were talking about it. We were trying not to. We had to ask, how
what
sick
up,
of that? And, like, do you ever get sick of hearing that?
No, I crack up every time people, quote a line from Half-Baked. It's really cool to see how people, like, really love the movie, and, I get a kick out of it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Well, awesome. Not only that, like, the type of fans that'll come up to you, like, they're different
what
type. You said you were in Israel. Did you actually hear anybody say that to you when you were there?
Oh.
I didn't hear that, but people were definitely fans of Half-Baked and some other stuff. Yeah, the people for sure came up to me and were really excited to see Scarface. So, that was kind of shocking in Israel.
It
was nice.
You also got the Weeds crowd coming up to you there, too. And, you either play, whenever we see you, we know that you're either going to be really, really funny or really, really intense, man.
Or kind of a mix of the two.
What's up with that, right?
I know. It's good, man. No, it's really, really good. Like, your character right now on Scandal on ABC, your relationship with Olivia, man, we don't know where that's going with it, but we know that you're fiercely loyal to this gorgeous woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, she saved his life, right? I mean, he ended up homeless on the streets of D.C., and she, came and dusted him off and brought him to work for her. So he feels that fierce loyalty towards her. And, and he has a pretty sordid, dark past. And I think staying close to Olivia kind of keeps him grounded and focused and instead of going into the dark side of torturing more people and killing. So she's definitely a grounding stone for him.
Something new. Awesome. Well, Guillermo, thank you for getting up early with us and helping make our morning a little harder today.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Thank you very much. Thanks, B. Appreciate it. Hey, track that one up.
Yep.
Track that one up.
Yay.
All right, we're back.
Can I go home now?
Batting 1,000. We're out of here. We still got Joseph Benavidez here on the show. Cage fighter, UFC fighter extraordinaire.
He's during the 8 o'clock hour.
He's going to be coming in. And we also got news on the way here. It's 7:35. Thanks again to Guillermo Diaz. Again, tune in to ABC tonight, Thursday, with Scandal. The mole will be revealed. Bastard. We'll see. Could it be him?
Or she.
Could it be, or her.
Mm.
On the Rocket. Hey, Chip, how's it going?
Good morning, Chip.
Going well. Good morning.
Great. Great to have you on the show here. And I wanted to just point this out. There are two types of pornography that I like here. The real stuff and the stuff that's on the Velocity Channel, like your show, Overhauling, man. Great to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
I got to ask, first off, Chip, are you a morning person?
Actually, I don't sleep a lot, so I'm morning or night.
Yeah, you're always up, man, because you're constantly working. And I got to ask you here also, how does it feel, just to put things into perspective, with the job that you have with cars and designs, how does it feel that you're responsible for half the teenagers and young men getting laid with such great-looking, awesome vehicles, Chip?
Well, Well, then what was the problem I was having?
Right, yeah.
I can imagine.
Was it when we were growing up, man? A guy like you, of course. You're the host of the show, Overhauling, and you got the season just ready to go. You're cranking out these cars. A lot of people don't realize with a restoration show, like the one that you have here, a lot of time goes into this show. I mean, you show the car being restored, you know, beginning of the episode.
It seems so quick in just half an hour to an hour,
you
know?
A lot of time goes into it, right? Like you said, you don't sleep a lot.
No, and actually, we used to do the show in 8 days, but when Velocity came and asked me if I would like to restart the show again, I said I would love to do the show, but I do not want to do it in the 8 days like we used to. I'm getting older. I need a little sleep, so we are now doing them in 3 to 4 weeks, which is still an amazing turnaround to do a car from bumper to bumper brand new.
No kidding. And knowing that you put more time into it, because, I mean, you guys do a lot of detailed work. Does it help at stretching that time out a little bit?
It helps as much time as we can get. It helps. But, you know, what I'm trying to do is personalize the car and make it the owner's dream car itself, not just a restoration. If it was just a restoration, everybody would know exactly what we're doing, but we're designing this to be their individual car.
Exactly.
Yeah, every restoration is different, and I'm looking at some of the cars that you guys have fixed up. I mean, I've seen the 60 Camaro that you guys were working on, and one that really just immediately got my attention, the Lotus. How long did that take? Because
that
I saw that. Yeah, that took two parts, man. That must have been a hell of a job.
That was a big job because we couldn't get a lot of the parts. So the car was actually, you know, put on the back burner several times while we were waiting for parts, and then we'd bring it forward. And we ended up pushing that car to the end of the season because of that reason, is waiting for parts.
Nice.
And you want that, though. I mean, as a you're an artist here, basically. You're looking for a challenge.
I am looking for a challenge, but number one, I'm looking to make somebody's automotive dream come true. That's why, you know, a lot of people think of Overhauling as just an automotive show. I think of Overhauling as a people show. The cars are the catalyst to tell their story. So when we get the car, we're actually sharing with you why somebody is deserving to have their car. They're putting somebody else or their community before them, but they've had this car in their garage or side yard for years, but they don't have the money or the means to restore it.
Yeah.
We take it and build their dream.
I love that you bring that part up because, and we were talking about this off air earlier, I have a husband who's a big fan of the car part of the show, but where I become a fan is the people part of the show, the stories you guys bring out. And can you, I know you don't want to spill the whole season, but is there a story that really hit home with you in season two?
There's always something in almost every build where it's bringing home into it. But in this second season on Velocity, the third week we do a car that it was a pickup truck that was owned by the father and passed down to the son, and we actually build the car to the father's dream, not the son's dream, mm-hmm. because that's what he really wanted. Was he originally bought the car and gave it to his dad to work with him in building dad's dream truck, and so working with him together, or working with the stories together, we ended up building Dad's dream truck.
Right, yes.
There you go.
Cool
Making
stuff.
Some of our listeners happy. Thank you for that, Chip.
Hey, what do I got to do here, Chip, to get you down here so you can work on me and my brother's 1966 Ford Mustang 2+2 Fastback, man? What do we got to do, okay?
You go to overhauling.tv, submit it, tell us a story that makes him sound like he's deserving, and hopefully we'll pick it and we'll come down and visit you.
Oh, I'll tell you right now. He just calls me up and he says, "Hey, man, check out the new Mustang," and then it's just in all the parts all over the damn garage, man. So, Chip, I need your help, man. I need it.
Of course, the legendary Chip Foos on the line, Overhauling Season 2 on Velocity, already premiering. We've got a lot of great stuff to look forward to, apparently. Chip, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to give us a call this morning.
Thank you, Lynn and Jackie. You guys have a wonderful day.
Take care. Hello, Charles.
Good morning, Charles.
Good morning, Linz and Jack at KXPZ.
Best intro ever.
You guys have the craziest amount of consonants in your call letters, in the name of your station, in the spelling of Linz. You guys rock in the consonant world.
But, I mean, we suck, though, at Wheel of Fortune. We can never get the consonants and the vowels, Charles Fleischer. Gosh.
Let me tell you something. Wheel of Fortune is not that much of a fortune.
No. And you have to add in bed at the end. Please welcome to the show the man of 1,003 voices, or was it 1,001?
It's 1,001. We talked about this already.
Yes. You have to divide it by the prime numbers. And, of course, you may remember him from Welcome Back, Kotter. He had a recurring role on there. And everybody wants us to talk about, of course, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, celebrating its 25th anniversary. Just got released on Blu-ray.
Right?
Welcome to the show, Charles. How are you?
I'm great, but wait, I got to backtrack. You were talking about 1,001 and prime numbers?
Yes.
When were you talking about that?
I was stalking you.
Earlier this morning, we were doing our research.
Yeah, I was stalking you with interviews, and you were sitting down with an interview, and a guy said that you're the man of 1,000 voices, and you were quick to correct and said 1,001. 1,001.
Okay. So, because 1,001 is 7 times 11 times 13, three consecutive prime numbers.
I told you, Jack. See?
This is why I always failed math. But I got to ask you this question, too. It seems like a psychiatric question here. Do you discover more and more voices every day, Charles?
I discover less voices every day, which is much better because there's already so many.
That is a great answer. Of course, we are celebrating the 25th anniversary of Who Framed Roger Rabbit today. We grew up with you, Charles. We're not going to lie. And I want to say a big thank you for some of the personal influences you did on that. I always wanted to have as many voices as you. I haven't gotten there quite yet, but you're a very inspiring man when it comes to that.
I'm appreciative of your complimentary stance, and you can lie if you want.
He's not going to know. Well, she already is practicing her voices because she's got a kid, and she has to determine which tone of voice she wants to have whichever
exactly.
She's chewing her out. You know?
Exactly. With any voice that you do, you can make it a little bit higher or a little bit lower. Or you can make it more gruff, or you can make it more like this or like that. Well, you know, you can always change it just a bit, just to move it one way or the other.
Exactly. One of my questions for you, Charles, was when did you first realize how many voices you really have?
It was about 8 minutes before birth.
Right before they cut the umbilical cord.
In the birth canal.
Yes. Or was it after the umbilical cord? That was when you had your first voice. What are you cutting off, right?
Well, I didn't have an umbilical cord. I was a lot like Adam.
Oh. So you were a little leafy then.
You were spongy.
Yes, a little leafy. But I got to... Go ahead,
You know, the pictures of Adam and Eve, they have belly buttons, which is problematic.
You know, I never actually thought about that, Charles, but you're making so much sense.
How often are you doing comedy these days? Are you still doing the tours? I see that you're doing a lot of, you know, the fanfare stuff, a lot of the, you know, the...
Yeah, I would... Just in Vegas and Tahoe. I'll be back at those two places in May. And I still love and I wouldn't let you in.
Oh, thanks,
I think you've
Charles.
Already figured out Jack very well so far.
Thank you. I appreciate that. So, hey, man, we're really looking forward to the DVD. I need to pick up my copy here. Again, the feeling of this movie, which is Who Framed Roger Rabbit, how does it feel to be a part of something, again, that has stood the test of time, that people find so endearing?
It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's overwhelming. You know, I went through these feelings when the movie was made and released, and now 25 years later, to see it on Blu-ray with this enhanced technology, it really is. I'm really blessed and really grateful, and I'm appreciative that you guys give me the time to tell you that.
Thank you. And it means a lot to us to hear you say that, really, because, I mean, we grew up with you, man, not only with Who Framed Roger Rabbit, but with the rest of your career and your stand-up. So.
Well, thank you to both of you, and I consider you like my children.
Aww, thank you, Charles. Before we let you go, can we get you to do one thing for us? In the Roger Rabbit voice, will you just say, the rocket?
Keep it. I'd be happy to do it. The rocket. I could never say that. Not a Caruthers.